What a cool gospel we have. Imagine you're a follower of Jesus, and he all of a sudden tells you, you know what? I know you guys have been following me. Now I want you to go out on your own without, you know, me here to save the day. Go out, and while you're at it, cure the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. You're like, whoa, who do you think I am anyway? Wouldn't that be cool to hear those words? Okay, today's gospel, I think, shows a couple different stages in the spiritual life, though. Probably for a lot of us, we come to Mass regularly. We recognize that we need God. So we come to Him whenever there's a healing, you know, Mass or healing this or that, we show up because we know that we need healing. We go to confession regularly, and maybe in my confessions, I unload and I unburden myself to the priest regularly. And it's like, Father, I'm dealing with my family members and they just don't understand me, and so many people, and I just feel like I'm misunderstood. And we know that we can go to confession and unburden, and we know that God will be there. And we have the wisdom to come to the church and to do that. And that's a good thing. You are always going to need, you know, to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We're always going to need confession. Certainly, we're always going to need healing under one form or another. But that's only the first step in the spiritual life. And if we leave it there, we're still only at the beginning. We're just getting started. Because if you and I are serious Catholics, Christ isn't just content with coming and making us feel good whenever we cry out to Him and say, Lord, I need you. Christ wants to transform us into images of Himself. He actually wants to transform us into Himself. When we receive sanctifying grace, that sanctifying grace is in order to make us into other Christs. That is the language that the Gospel and the New Testament uses. We are other Christs in Christ. And St. Paul uses the language having the mind of Christ. That becomes a different thing. Because when we have the mind of Christ, Christ didn't go around thinking, looking at the world and saying, look at all these sinful people, and nobody understands me, and I just know that if they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to let myself be crucified, and even so, so many people are still not going to acknowledge me, and boo-hoo, what was me? Christ doesn't think that way. Christ looks out at the world and He says, those people need me. Who is going to be the person who will bring me to them? To be another Christ means to start to look at the world the same way Jesus does and recognize, sure, there are a lot of people out there who sin. There are a lot of people out there who maybe don't treat me well. There's a lot of baggage out there. But you know what? Those people out there are made in the image and likeness of God. God wants to save those people. God dwells in the people, my brothers and sisters, the people I work with, the people I live with, the people, whatever in society, even the politicians that do things that we don't like. How am I going to help Christ build His kingdom? When we start taking that step, then we are starting to become more like Christ. I'm not saying that we're great saints yet, but at least we've taken the second step in the spiritual life. It's no longer just about us. A lot of us, I think, again, and this is not a bad thing per se, Christ says, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. He Himself invites us, okay? But that's not the whole gospel. That's not the only aspect of the gospel. And sometimes we live as if it is. And what happens is, it's still, when we don't open up our eyes and start looking at the needs of others, everything is still about us. It's just little old me, and God, come please help me because I'm such a broken mess and I need you, okay? Christ didn't make us to stay there. You look at the lives of saints. What do saints do? Saints are constantly, they are praying for others, interceding for others, reaching out to others, you know, picking up the lepers in the street, working with the homeless, working with really every facet of society. We always think that saints only work with poor people. Some saints have been kings and princes. Okay, it's true. Some saints have been very powerful people. Wherever we find ourselves, that is where we are called to build the kingdom of Christ. You can be a saint on Wall Street. In fact, I know a guy, very respected Wall Street investor. Very respected guy. Sometimes he shows up on MSNBC and all these, you know, shows talking about what the stock market's going to do and everything. And what does he do during Holy Week? He organizes street missions downtown Manhattan. And he gets his other Wall Street buddies and anybody who wants to join. And he's down there, Little Italy, bringing people, reeling them in to go to the church and get confession and go to Mass and get good with God. Okay? Where he finds himself. And that's what our faith is called to do. It is called to transform us to be apostles. This is what Jesus said in the Gospel. The harvest is abundant, and the laborers are few. And a couple lines later it says, I'm sending you out. Go out. Be my disciples. Be my instruments. Preach the kingdom in my name. And when you preach in my name, be ready for miracles. If you truly are living the faith, living it deeply, and then you bring it to other people, there will be healings. The devil will be cast out. Satan will fall from the sky like lightning. And maybe you think I'm just up here, you know, preaching, that's nice and everything. Okay, high schoolers, before I came back to the United States, the first 9 years of my priesthood, I was in the Philippines. What did I do? I organized, one of the things I did regularly was I would organize missions. Philippines is much cooler than New York in the sense that it's one of those countries where you can, there's one, where you get to go out into the countryside and the people are real simple and, you know, you get like the bamboo huts and tropical jungle and so it's, you know, it's much cooler than trying to do it here where it's a lot harder, frankly, in New York. But what would we do? We would spend the whole week going door to door. Now, I was not dealing with a whole bunch of trained theologians. These are not like experts in the faith. These were ordinary high school kids. Yeah, they're Catholic. They went to a Catholic school. But it's not like they really knew a whole lot or were great at what they did. But the fact that they said yes to Christ and simply said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm willing to let Christ use me. I remember on one particular day, I would go out to this island that has like practically no electricity, there's no running water, no paved roads. You get around on either dirt trails or these little boats that go around the island. You know, it's about 6-7 miles long, maybe a mile or two wide. You know, really primitive. We're sleeping on floors and mosquitoes and pigs and all that stuff. And I remember one day going and anointing an old guy who was dying of cancer or something because, and by the way, I don't speak the language, but because some high school kid gave up his Holy Week and instead of going to Singapore or whatever his family was going to do for Holy Week, he gave it up to do missions. And one day I anointed 3 different people who were on their deathbed. Each one of them had been away from the sacraments for decades, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. No Mass, no confessions, no sacraments. Some weird white priest shows up in their lives, gives them the anointing of the sick, and all 3 of them, within a day and a half, 2 days, died. Now think about that. And I would tell the kids, the high school kids, they were on the way out. I didn't kill them. Okay. I would tell those high school kids that I was with, what would have happened if you didn't go on mission? I don't bilocate or trilocate. I can only be in one place at a time. I didn't know these people existed. I don't speak the language. These people got the anointing of the sick with the total forgiveness of their sins on the last day or so of their life, partially because you said yes to Christ. And he was able to use you, even though you're not an expert in theology or anything. But when we give Christ our yes and say, Lord, okay, what I've got, you know, it ain't much, but it's yours, okay? God can use that. God wants to use that. And as long as we're stuck thinking about ourselves and how woe is me all the time, he's not going to be able to use it. It's not until we go out. Actually, somebody just walked in who did missions with me in Dominican Republic 8 years ago. Okay? I used to be in this parish, and we did 2 missions in DR. Same story. There was actually a very funny anecdote once. My second year of doing missions down in DR, one of the first houses that they visited, there's this guy who, his kids are like almost 50 years old, and he and his wife never got married. So they said, hey, you know, we've got a priest here, and we can do confession, baptism, confirmation, wedding, you can get married in the church. The guy says, I don't know if I'm ready yet. His kids are almost 50 years old. He doesn't know if he's ready to get the sacrament of matrimony. Okay, wait, you wait. But Christ wants to use us. If I'm not mistaken, we have a mission up in Getty Square coming up maybe this Saturday or the following Saturday, I forget which. How many of us are going to do that? How many of us are going to let Christ use us? Each person here, you have the capacity to be an instrument of Christ, at least to meet one person who needs to hear the message. Okay? Secondly, I know I've already been going on a long time, Christ says something interesting. He says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Pray! Pray not only for missionaries, pray for priests. We need priests. If you look at the stats, every year in New York there are more Catholics and fewer priests. That can't go on. We need vocations to the priesthood. Maybe somebody here is being called. Okay, girls, you're off the hook. You're not going to be priests. You can be something else. You can be a nun if you want. I'm not going to stop you. Maybe somebody here is being called to be a priest. I didn't think I was either, okay? Once, when I was, like, your ages, when people used, oh, I think you're special, you might have something, and I would laugh at all the old ladies. 2 years later, I'm entering the seminary. What did I know? Pray for priests. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know what, right now, we are in what is called the Mass. You didn't know that, did you? We're actually in Mass, right? You knew that. Anyone here know what the word Mass, where it comes from? Doesn't mean a lot. Mass, massive. Dude, when I was a kid, it was like, it would be the equivalent of saying mad. It's like, we had mass fun. Okay, Mass comes from Latin. The final words of the Mass, which are badly translated in English and almost as badly translated in Spanish. You want to know what the priest says in Latin at the end of the Mass? He says, Ite missa est. Go, you are sent. That's where the word Mass comes from. It means we come here to receive Christ in the Word. In the Eucharist, we receive Christ's blessing for what? The last words of the Mass is the priest saying, go now, you have received, you are sent back into the world to bring Christ to the world. None of this, let us go out in peace to love and serve the Lord. He says, no, you are sent to evangelize. You are sent to spread Christ, to build Christ's kingdom. You are missionaries. You are co-involved in this process. If you are baptized and you receive the sacraments, that is your job. How many of us live that? It begins in your family, maybe in your school, where you work, whatever. Go. You are sent into a world that is starving for people to bring it Christ.